At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast. Here is your host, Tim Murray.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. Full weekend in the books, the Sweet 16 ahead of us, and we will have games in our city of Las Vegas, which is quite exciting. Joined a lot of the time by Mr. Humans, who joins us right now at MattHumans247 on Twitter. Matt, as we look back just briefly before going straight ahead into Sweet 16 weekend, how would you define or sum up the first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
There's always two ways to look at it. One is just from a big picture perspective, were the games entertaining? What was the... the first 4 days, like, I thought it was great in terms of entertainment value. You know, typically that's the case, but we have some just ridiculous point spread decisions, games that went down to the wire. I mean, it's everything you would have wanted and more. Other takeaways would be that as a handicapper, for me, it was mediocre. I had an awesome Thursday. Friday was a fiasco, one of my all-time fiascos, one of the worst days I've ever had. Saturday was okay. Sunday was decent. Sunday was a lot better, I guess. But mediocre results overall as a handicapper. And then just general takeaways is two number one seeds are gone. I'm not surprised that Kansas is gone. I'm not stunned that Purdue is gone. And the Big Ten is... an embarrassment again. Eight teams in the tournament, only one left, and that team is Michigan State. So Tom Izzo is Mr. March. He shows up at the Big Ten tournament. He loses one game by 10 to Ohio State. Who thinks the Spartans would be a Sweet 16 team? And that's the only team remaining from the Big Ten at this point. I think the SEC's had a pretty good showing, Tim, and I think the Big East has had a pretty good showing, even though it lost Marquette.
Yeah, and I thought the ACC was overrated, and Miami is the only team left from that conference. Veteran backcourt, and they needed a flat-out collapse from Drake in the first round in order to still be here. We would be looking at zero ACT teams, but hey, you can't do that with every single situation, because there's lots of teams that are fortunate to get out of an around, and then they turn it around and, make a run. I mean, look at Xavier. They're a team that, Matt, was life and death, and probably more death than life against Kennesaw State. Jack Nungy comes out of nowhere, gets a big block, and then they turn around and kick Pittsburgh's ass, and here they are in the Sweet 16 against Texas. So that's the beauty of this tournament. That's why we love this tournament. It's a one and done. Makes it so unique. You see a team like Fairleigh Dickinson and a dumbass like me saying, hey, you know, this is a team that's got so much size. And Fairleigh Dickinson at 6-1 was their game plan. Tobin Anderson, their head coach, had a phenomenal game plan. And, you know, for a second straight year, Purdue knocked out to a very high seed. But, you know, this tournament's incredible. Every year it throws us some sort of different curveball. And, you know, who out there had Princeton in the Sweet 16? Nobody. So it that's the beauty of this dance. And here we are, and 16 teams left. And I'll say this, Matt, I expected the West region when it came to Vegas on Thursday night to be the most entertaining. I'm hoping for that. And the two matchups we have are phenomenal. And that includes Kansas not even being there. I mean, I think Arkansas, with the talent that they have, with the character that Musselman is, you've got UConn, who the computers have loved all year. Gonzaga seems to be hitting its stride at the right time offensively. Tons of questions defensively. And then UCLA, if they could just stay healthy, you and I are in agreement. We think this is the best team in the country, but they can't stay healthy. They've got tons of injuries and a lot of intrigue there for those games. So Las Vegas's Sweet 16 matchups, I think, you know, might be the most two intriguing games of Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, no question. The Vegas regional is loaded. We knew it was, we figured that was going to be the case before the tournament. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, even the Ivy League, even the guys I respect who follow the Ivy League all year said, you know, this Princeton team's just not that good. Not up to usual standards of an Ivy champ. They're lucky to be here. And now look, Princeton's in the Sweet 16. So some of this stuff is really hard to figure. And, you know, Tennessee's a team everybody wanted to fade too when Zakai Ziegler, the point guard, went down. And Rick Barnes never had a lot of success in the tournament. It's kind of like, you know, Matt Painter, Rick Barnes, tough luck guys. You know, one last note on Purdue is that I made the number on that game 17, and I was scratching my head because it was open 23, and even, you know, guys like you and Wes Reynolds were saying, lay the points, don't play the dog. I said, okay, maybe Fairleigh Dickinson's a lot worse than I think, and maybe I got a bad number at 17, but I never assume anything with Purdue in the tournament. And the thing about Matt Painter is he's got to change the way he coaches, man. And Wes and I talked about this on the show. You can't be so rigid in everything you do. You got to be flexible. You have to adjust. I've always said he's a great program builder, but he's really weak as an in-game coach because he doesn't make adjustments. You got to play some zone, you know, and Zach Edey's getting exposed and he can't defend anybody. There are different things you got to be able to do. And when your guards, Purdue's guards have been fading badly for 6 weeks and just not knocking down any shots. Nobody talked about it, Tim, except I mentioned it, I think, on our podcast last week. In the Big Ten tournament title game, Purdue's three starting guards shot 2 for 20 against Penn State. But Purdue won the game, so people tend to forget about stuff like that. I was not stunned that they played so poorly. I thought they would find a way to win a close game. But, hey, that's when you play a slowdown, low possession style of game, you're playing right into the hands of a 15 or a 16 seed like St. Peter's or Fairleigh Dickinson. When you have superior talent, when you have the better players, you have to dictate the game. And Matt Painter's got to make some adjustments or this stuff's going to keep happening. It's embarrassing. You know, the whole Big Ten's got to have to make adjustments because this happens to the Big Ten year after year after year, and Tom Izzo's the only guy who can consistently win in March.
Yeah, and last note on Fairleigh Dickinson, and, you know, great call by you. You said it on this podcast, you're going to fade Purdue every game. You only got to fade them one. And I was with you, you know. I took a future on Memphis to win this region, and you know, that crashed and burned when you get a fifth-year senior throwing a pass in the middle of the floor for no reason late in the game on against FAU. But now FAU is very alive to win this region, you know, I think a price of 40-1. But Fairleigh Dickinson, just to put perspective on this real quickly, you know, they played in the worst conference in college basketball. the Northeast Conference, worst conference, 32 conferences. They're the worst. That's not opinion. That's you know, statistically backed. And Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win the conference. Right. And, you know, and Fairleigh Dickinson is a team because they lost to Merrimack, and Merrimack is not eligible because of some ridiculous, dumb rule. And they lost to Central Connecticut, you know, in the middle of February, who is bottom 10 college basketball team. I mean, that's why this tournament, once again, is so incredible. And, you know, shout out to FDU, who went 3-0 ATS in the NCAA tournament. You know, people love Texas Southern. They beat up on Texas Southern. Yep. Dopes like me liked Purdue. They beat Purdue outright. And then they covered against Florida Atlantic, and really that wasn't a sweat at all if you took the 15 points or whatever it closed at. So Tobin Anderson made a lot of people money if you got on the Knights train. So well done by Fairleigh Dickinson, one of the many great stories of this tournament and what makes this event, you know, my favorite event. I think your favorite event each and every year. It's not easy to handicap, that's for damn sure, but you get some crazy, wild things. And, you know, if that game happens in the middle of November, I'm convinced, you know, at Mackey Arena, Purdue probably wins by 24 points. But because it's on a different stage and you start to get this momentum going, and the, you know, the FAU and Memphis fans there, they don't want to see Purdue. So they're cheering for FDU. They're chanting FDU. I mean, that is what makes this event each and every year just top notch so really nothing can match it in all of sports, in my opinion.
Well, last thing about that, Tim, if you see David fight Goliath, nobody's going to be rooting for Goliath.
Right? I'm still waiting to see that match one of these days. I've been looking for it. I've been looking around corners. All right, let's get into it, Matt. Let's get into the games. We got 8 games to break down. We'll see how many bets we have. We ran into each other as we cross paths as our shows ended. I think there's going to be some similarities here, but let's get into the first game of the Sweet 16. It is a 6:30 Eastern start, Madison Square Garden, the mecca of it all. Michigan State, Kansas State. We've seen a flip of favorites. Kansas State at some shops open as a favorite. As we record this on late Monday night, Michigan State is a 2-point favorite with a total of 137.5. By the way, if you blindly played unders, you are sitting with a fat bankroll, because unders were cashing like crazy. I believe the number was it 37-15, Matt? I mean, it was insane, the number of unders. I'm not a big totals player, so I usually just stay away from them, which it was 35-17, I beg your pardon. So unders kept cashing at an insane rate. I think Friday it went 14-2. So Michigan State, Kansas State, Matt. Kansas State, Jerome Tang and his squad picked last in the Big 12 preseason. Here they are in the Sweet 16. And Michigan State, like you mentioned, you know, the only Big 10 team left. And this stack, courtesy of our good friend Chris Felica, Michigan State, under Tom Izzo, in the Elite Eight and Sweet 16, Matt, 18-6 straight up.
Yeah, he's Mr. March. I don't know how he does it. I watched Michigan State the entire season, not very impressed. And like I said, the Spartans, you know, went to the Big Ten tournament. They play Ohio State, get beat by 10, pack their bags, and go home. And somehow they show up this week and win 2 games. And they do it. And they beat Marquette, the Big East champ, by shooting 2-for-16 from 3. And Marquette knocked down 11 threes in that game. Mm-hmm. How do you get outscored by 27 points behind the three-point line and beat Marquette by 9? You know, I've watched Michigan State the entire year. I think it's Spartans typically shoot a higher percentage from 3. They don't take a lot of threes. I don't think this is one of Tom Izzo's best defensive teams. I think it's just middle of the road. I don't think this is one of his most physical rebounding teams. I think it's just middle of the road. Somehow he's finding a way to get it done. And I thought that Tyson Walker was going to have to go off for Michigan State to be successful in this tournament. He didn't really go off in the first game. That was Joey Hauser. But against Marquette, Tyson Walker did have 23 points. And I think that's what it's going to take for Michigan State here against K-State too. Jerome Tang said after the Kentucky game, hey, we had more dudes that showed up today. And a lot of times in the tournament, that's what it's about. Your big-time players got to step up and play like it. And you're seeing some of the teams have been knocked out. Their dudes didn't show up. Kansas State's got two of the top five players in the Big 12 all-first team, and Marcus Noel and Keontae Johnson. This line is curious to me because I think it's kind of like nobody wants to bet against Tom Izzo. I don't really know how Michigan State's a two-point favorite right now, but it's so suspicious that it's going to probably keep me off it because it looks like Kansas State's going to be a square dog. You got the three seed that's a two-point dog, a Michigan State team with no real outstanding traits except for Tom Izzo and his knack for winning games in March. I don't know, Tim, can you explain why Michigan State's a two-point favorite? Is K-State a square dog here? Those are the questions
I can't. I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, and you know, I tend to think that they will be a little squarish. I do anticipate people recognizing the success that, you know, Tom Izzo has. You know, you look at some of the early betting splits out there, DraftKings over at VSiN.com, 63% of the bets. Now, the majority of the betting public, let's be real, will not bet this game until Thursday or Wednesday. So, you know, your average Joe may not be firing on this game yet, but, you know, clearly respected money came in on the Spartans here. And I don't know if that's solely based off of, hey, this is Tom Izzo or whatever it may be. But, you know, the fact that the seventh seed is the favorite over the three seed is kind of telling here in this particular spot. So you mentioned 3-point shooting capabilities from this Michigan State team. They are a top 10 3-point shooting team. But like you mentioned, Matt, this isn't a team that just fires threes nonstop. They're only 301st in the country in 3-point attempts per field goal attempts. You know, they shoot a three every third field goal attempt. But when they shoot them, they tend to go in, 38.7% from the field. So I think that it was pretty impressive, Matt, that they were able to win and really control that game. I know it got tight there late, you know, I guess like midway through the second half, but ultimately they pulled away. But from the jump, they kind of punched Marquette in the mouth right out of the chute here. So I don't have a play on this game as of yet. I've kind of waffled back and forth, which is always a risky proposition. My lean, just because of the line, and I thought the line was kind of telling you the story, was a little bit towards Michigan State here. You know, the one thing I'll say is, you know, we've seen it before where elite guard play can kind of take you to some special places. And Marquise Noel is a guy that is from New York City, and he could, you know, just go crazy like he did against Kentucky. And, you know, so far in this NCAA tournament, Montana State game, he was fine. He had 14 assists, so I think that was actually pretty damn impressive. So far in this NCAA tournament, 44 points and 23 assists for Marquise Noel for Kansas State, Matt. So he could be one of those players that you just look at and say, damn, he just took a team on his back. And like you mentioned, Keontae Johnson, this is a guy that was, what, the SEC preseason player of the year before having his heart episode with Florida. I mean, this is a talented basketball player. So, you know, I'm probably going to stay off this one. But, you know, both of these teams got here without much fluke, in my opinion. And I'm excited to see this one on Thursday night.
Yeah, no play for me yet here. This type of game, I'm probably going to live bet.
Going to, Matt, the first game in T-Mobile Arena, mm-hmm. Arkansas and UConn. This is a 7:15 start, 4:15 local time. I'm fully expecting the atmosphere at T-Mobile Arena. It might be the best atmosphere of the four arenas this weekend, you know, especially with the Gonzaga-UCLA game and the way those fan bases travel. And I expect Arkansas and Connecticut to have some impressive fan bases too. Here's one thing, and I don't know if you take a look at these particular numbers, but, you know, UConn handled St. Mary's, but there's a there's a website out there, Shot Quality, that takes into account just kind of all this sorts of data and, you know, what the actual score should be. 70-55 was the actual result. But according to their numbers, it was a 65-55 St. Mary's win just based off of, you know, averaging everything out. You have not been a big believer, rightfully so, I would say, in St. Mary's this year. You've been fading them a lot, and you've been winning a lot of money because they've been kind of overinflated in the market. UConn, I think you could argue, has been a little too. How do you look at this game in Las Vegas, and is there a play for you? Because I'm leaning towards Arkansas. Both you and I loved Arkansas in round one. We didn't reconvene for a podcast for the Saturday pod. I liked Arkansas, played Arkansas against Kansas. I'm looking at Woo Pig again here in this spot, but I'm curious if this number ticks back up a little bit because I'm seeing one offshore as of Monday night tick back to 4, and I might wait here and see what number we can ultimately get with Arkansas.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to wait for here is 4 as well. I was thinking about betting Arkansas at the opener last night. I thought I would grab 4. It disappeared, went to 3.5. If you watch the end of the Penn State-Texas and TCU-Gonzaga games, you know every half point, every point matters. So I'm going to look to get 4 with the Hogs. I think they should be live dogs in this game, even though Connecticut's stronger in the low post. And, you know, the Huskies have been really impressive in the second half in the first two games. Trailed Iona by 2 at halftime, blew out the Gales in the second half. Led St. Mary's by 1 at halftime, fortunate to be leading at halftime, and blew out those Gales in the second half as well. You know, I'm not sure what's up with Nick Smith. Wes Reynolds and I talked about this. He played 16 minutes, didn't score. So you got actually Arkansas's two high-profile players who are considered to be NBA lottery picks combined for 4 points in the game against Kansas. You know, and you look at that and say, how the hell could that happen? I'm not sure that Nick Smith is on the same page with Eric Musselman and what the hell is going on there. But Musselman's kind of like Tom Izzo, right? He seems to find ways to win these games in March. He's one of those coaches that's got that magic. I'm leaning towards taking Arkansas, but I got to get to 4, and I'll just kind of hold on to this one this week. I think this is going to be a hell of a matchup that kind of goes to the wire, similar to the Arkansas-Kansas game.
Yeah, and to your point about Nick Smith, Seth Davis in his write-up of the weekend said, Smith has been a non-factor in the NCAA tournament. He had 6 points against Illinois, went scoreless in 16 minutes in the upset win over Kansas. There was much elation in the Razorbacks locker room, but Smith went into the bathroom and cried out of frustration. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. You know, Devontae Davis was unbelievable in that second half for Arkansas. But the fact that they're doing it without, you know, Nick Smith, so to speak, is telling. And, yeah, Eric Musselman, what, back-to-back Elite Eight appearances, now into the Sweet 16 again. Some coaches just know how to hit the right buttons, and they've got a ton of talent there. So we'll see. A game that I have made a bet on Thursday, Matt, I took when it touched 6 earlier today at Circa, I took 6 with Florida Atlantic, who is was my enemy in round one, and they found a way to win. And, you know, curious to get your thoughts on this because Florida Atlantic was the underdog, right, against Memphis. A lot of people thought Memphis would win. I thought Memphis would win. Even though I said, look, I think it's a toss-up game, but ultimately I think Memphis will win. I think they'll have a chance to potentially make some noise in the bracket, which I still agree and believe they would have. But they didn't. Kendrick Davis made a terrible turnover, and it wasn't just his fault. They were pushing and shoving. I mean, it was a shit show, to be honest, with Memphis there on Friday night for the Tigers in the loss to the Owls. But Florida Atlantic then had the role of favorite against Fairleigh Dickinson, and Fairleigh Dickinson played him well, had a chance to kind of stun them. And FAU, I'll give them credit. You know, they pulled it away in a spot that they might not be familiar with. And now I feel like they're back in the role that they would thrive in, which is the underdog role. And Tennessee, like you said to start the podcast, Matt, you know, Tennessee was a team that people were looking to fade. I've been looking to fade. I bet them on Saturday because I just thought this Duke love was way overblown. And now I think that people think Tennessee could maybe win the East, you know, go to a national championship. Let's pump the brakes here on a team that's missing your point guard, has long stretches of struggles offensively. And, you know, for Florida Atlantic, this is a deep team, right? They play a handful of guys. They're not overly veteran. This isn't a senior-laden team, but there's not a lot of freshmen on this roster. I think Florida Atlantic's a live dog in this spot, and I would take 5.5, which is available across the market, and maybe there'll be a six that pops again, but I think Tennessee laying 5.5, Matt, they thrive much more in the underdog role where they bullied a young Duke team than I think they will thrive in a favorite role where the pressure's on them to beat a team that they're expected to beat.
I agree with that. I expect to see some offensive regression from a Tennessee team that was unusually hot from three-point range in the second round, 9-for-21 from three. The Vols were in that game. They usually don't shoot it like that. The Vols bullied the Duke freshman, and I was disappointed in the way Blue Devils did not respond to how physical that game was. I'm watching a replay of it right now on CBS Sports Network, and Duke got pushed around and didn't push back. The Owls are older. They're not going to be intimidated. John L. Davis off a hell of a game. John L. Davis had 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals. That's a hell of a game for a third-year sophomore.
Is that good?
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said. And by the way, Fairleigh Dickinson hung tough in that game. I think they
– Yeah, they did.
They way outplayed their computer numbers, right? And we all thought that's the worst conference, worst team in the tournament, and they didn't look like a joke. They were not exposed against Florida Atlantic. I don't know if that's a bad sign for the Owls or not. I don't think so. I'm going to look to bet Florida Atlantic here. Like you said, sixes might pop up again. It's very early in the week. It's 5.5 across the screen. You might see a six at some point. But, hey, this Tennessee offense without Zakai Ziegler, a point guard, can go through some extended scoring droughts. And that's not the type of team that you want to be laying points with. Also, I don't think Tennessee's going to get away with the pro wrestling style of play that the used against Duke. I think this game's going to be officiated a little bit closer. And also, Florida Atlantic is a well-coached team. Dusty May's doing a great job. These guys didn't win 30-plus games by a fluke. So I'm looking to play Florida Atlantic here against a Tennessee team that's got an offense that can't be trusted to cover a number. So let's take 5.5, or, you know, if we can't get six, I'll take 5.5 with FAU.
All right, final game on Thursday, the creme de la creme. Arguably the most anticipated game of the Sweet 16, Gonzaga, UCLA. UCLA now a 2-point favorite. I see a 2.5 at Caesars right now. So money keeps coming in on the Bruins, which is surprising to me. And it's not because I don't believe in UCLA at full strength. Like I said, and like we both agree, I think UCLA is the best team and would won a national title, and I would have felt great where I was at a 14-1 future, but they've got a lot of injuries, and Jalen Clark is out. Gonzaga, as we saw on Sunday night, when they get rolling offensively, good luck trying to stop them. Drew Timmy is playing at a phenomenal level. You know, Julian Strother, Rasir Bolton, they were hitting some big shots in that game. You know, they were down at the half to TCU, and I live bet Gonzaga. I felt like this is the spot to get the Zags, and that three-pointer at the buzzer may have been the luckiest thing for me because I got a fortunate middle there. But, you know, when you look at this spot, Matt, UCLA, we know they're without Jalen Clark, arguably the best defensive player in the country. They still have Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell. Adembona did play 16 minutes against Northwestern, which is a positive development. But David Singleton, who's not, you know, he's a role player, but still someone that they want to have and a veteran player, rolled his ankle. Mick Cronin said it's not broken, but it's a bad sprain. And then I guess he said something to Jaime Jaquez about getting some something, some magic lotion or whatever he said to put on his ankle. But the injuries keep on piling up for UCLA. The thing about UCLA, though, they can defend. Now, how much will that be hindered without Jalen Clark? When you see Gonzaga, as we've seen in years past, Matt, play a physical, defensive-oriented team, Baylor in the national championship, last year to in the Sweet 16 against Arkansas, they struggle. So how do you see this game playing out Thursday night in Vegas?
Well, if Jalen Clark were still healthy, I'll just say it quickly because he's not, so it doesn't matter. But he might be the best defensive player in the country, and he's the type of guy you can throw him out there on Drew Timmy and help lock down Timmy. I would have loved UCLA in this game because when you get a finesse offensive team against a tough defensive team, I'm taking the defense most of the time. And with Jalen Clark in there, UCLA, Houston, obviously the top two defensive teams in the country. Take Jalen Clark out, it's a tougher handicap for me, Tim. It's much more difficult because it's not a UCLA team that has a lot of depth. And, you know, we watched David Singleton go down with that ankle injury. He did the LeBron James routine where he rolled around on the floor and it looked like he got shot by a sniper. And then 10 minutes later, he's up walking around. So there's hope that he's going to be able to play Thursday night. When I initially watched the replay, it looked like he might have broken his ankle. It looked like he might have snapped. And then all of a sudden, he's walking off the court, and he appears to be okay. I'm not sure how effective he's going to be able to be, but Bruins need his three-point shooting on that end. And I wonder if, you know, under 145 and a half, I don't see any 140s. Yeah, 146 at Circa. I wonder if under 146 is the right way to look in this game. Is UCLA really going to make this a slow down, low possession game? They're going to frustrate the Zags, make them play their style. And by, you know, Mick Cronin doesn't have a deep bench, Tim, like we said, so they don't want to run, right? They don't want to get up and run them down the court, make it a racehorse game. I'm thinking 146 under, and I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with the side, but I think that in games like this where you don't have a strong opinion, live bet it. Like I was talking about with Michigan State, Kansas State, because you're probably going to be able to get a better number than plus two or minus two, whichever side you like in Gonzaga, UCLA. And I want to see what Singleton's availability is going to be like. How healthy is he going to be? And you can also kind of get a feel for the game in the first 5 or 10 minutes and grab a better number than what's out there right now. I'm leaning under 146, and I'll tell you what. Gonzaga at plus 2.5, I would have to lean that way because Jalen Clark injury is huge. It's huge. And then you throw David Singleton on top of that. He's the best three-point shooter. And I don't know. I don't know if UCLA's got enough. So I'm gonna withhold judgment on this one right now.
Well, and I'll say this, Matt. You kind of talked me in here a little bit to the under because I hadn't thought about it. You know, playing an under in, you know, a game like this with Gonzaga and UCLA, but got to think, you know, UCLA averages about 66 possessions per game, which is, you know, bottom, you know, 244 in the country per KenPom. This is a team that will slow it down. And if you're missing, you know, a key component, you know, offensively, like Singleton, or he's hampered, and you don't have a deep bench, and you know your opponent wants to run, and that's what they thrive at. Uh-huh. I think UCLA is going to want to muck it up, and I think the under's a really good look here. And you know that people are going to want to fire on the over. Gonzaga scores a ton of points, and I'll tell you this, Matt. One other point on you playing the under and looking at the under: the last time these two teams played, the epic Final Four game. Final was 93-90. People are going to bring that up all week. Talk about, you know, how that game was played and how electric it was. And it went to overtime, tied at 81 apiece, which obviously would have been an over. nobody is going to want to play an over. And I think you're going to get, or sorry, an under. And I think you're going to get a pretty good number here in what should be an electric atmosphere. It'll be the final game at T-Mobile following Arkansas, Connecticut. We both know those fan bases travel. I'm going to sit back and hope that we can get an overinflated total here on a situation where, look, I think Mick Cronin is a top-notch coach. He's no dummy, and he knows that what Gonzaga excels at is getting out and go. Look at the second half of the TCU game. I mean, that Gonzaga offense, when they run, they are almost unstoppable. So you're not going to want to let that team run and be comfortable. You're going to want to muck it up and make them feel uncomfortable. I think the unders is absolutely the look here in this spot.
Yeah, and aside from Drew Timmy, Jaime Jaquez, you don't really have any elite offensive players, guys who can fill it up, score in bunches. The Bruins like to go to Jaquez every time they need a bucket. He was 11 for 19 against Northwestern. You know, you had Tiger Campbell at 0 for 7. Singleton was actually 1 for 5 from 3. You know, you talked about that previous UCLA-Gonzaga game. There were much better offensive players on the floor in that game than we were going to see in this one on Thursday night.
Jalen Suggs was a top 5 pick.
No doubt. No doubt. I actually think Mick Cronin's going to do everything he can to make this game ugly. He wants to make it like 65-60. 70-65, and you know that would be a high scoring game. I think under 146 might be a little bit better play here than the side, but I am going to live bet the side, and I'm not sure how. I just want to see how this game starts, but let's go with under 146 as a play for me right now.
All right, we'll do a recap at the end of this podcast. To Friday we go. I think Thursday is the better day, but hey, we never know. We can guess, and then the games play out. I actually have a play in this game. I think you do as well. And speaking of mucking it up, I think San Diego State's going to do that to Alabama. Now, the market has moved in favor of Alabama. People think that Alabama is the best team in the country now, understandably so. Looked the part against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, even though there was a last-second three-pointer that was important to some there from the Islanders. But Alabama took out and cruised to a victory against Maryland. But I really like this San Diego State team. I talked about it last week, one of maybe my few positive points on this podcast. I bet them at plus 154 to make the Sweet 16. And I don't know if they're live, but I think they're going to make this tough on Alabama. This is an elite defensive team. This is a veteran team taking on a team that's going to make them feel uncomfortable, Matt, in this spot. And, you know, they didn't play all that well against Charleston, did San Diego State. They crushed Furman, and now I think they're going to keep it close. You know, this is a team that's very slow, top five in the country in defense, and they make you work. And the thing for me in this one, Matt, is three-point shooting. Alabama's not a great three-point shooting team, but they shoot a ton of threes. They're top 10 in the country in three-point field goal attempts. 47.5% of their field goal attempts are three-pointers. And what San Diego State does and has done really well this year, as we talked about on the podcast, you know, look at the Utah State games. They swept Utah State, beat them three times. Utah State, well, we thought they were a really good three-point shooting team, didn't show it against Missouri, but they shut them down from the three-point arc. They averaged 28.7. That's three-point field goal percentage. I think San Diego State's going to make it tough on them. Maybe we get an 8 again in the market. I grabbed an 8, but I will make a 7.5 an official play here on the podcast. I think San Diego State makes it really hard for Alabama on Friday.
I do too. I actually grabbed a plus 8 with San Diego State as well. And I'll say, I'll go this way. I didn't make a big bet on it, so I'm going to go. My play is going to be a half unit. I'm going to split a unit here, a half unit on San Diego State plus 8 and a half unit under 137.5, like Wes and I talked about on the show tonight. It's kind of a correlated parlay. When you look at the Aztecs, they're really good in three-point defense, really good in transition defense, and I think they're going to be a tough matchup for Alabama because, you know, I've watched the Aztecs for about two decades now, and they don't really change. They stick to three-point shooters. They make you play their style of game. It's an elite defense, athletic and long enough to give Alabama some trouble. Bottom line here is I think Brandon Miller is by far the best player on the floor, and he's probably going to put the Tide over the top in a tight game. But I do think the Aztecs can hang in here and make life rough for the Tide. So I like the dog. I like the dog and the under, the correlated parlay. But like I said, I'll split the unit there and not make it a big bet because there is a chance that San Diego State, which goes through some scoring droughts, hits a rough patch in the second half, and then Tim Murray is going to be tweeting. He's going to be angry, and we're going to desperately need a couple.
Do that, buckets. Matt. What are you talking about?
We're going to desperately need a couple buckets by the Aztecs to get back in the game, and I'm worried about that. I am worried about the San Diego State scoring droughts, and that's my biggest concern about this game. I do think they can make it ugly, low scoring, and hang in there. I don't think they're going to win. It's interesting, Tim. I bet the Mountain West tournament teams under their win total of 3.5. And the only way I could lose that bet is if San Diego State goes to the Final Four and picks up 4 wins because the other 3 Mountain West teams were 1-0.
That'd be a bad beat.
How about that? Would that be a really bad beat? Unexpected to be if the Aztecs got all the way to the Final Four, which I don't think is going to happen. But, hey, man, stranger things have happened. The way this bracket breaks, I think we're going to have 2 unfamiliar teams in this Final Four. Could happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's get to the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, 7:15 Eastern, Miami against Houston. I had Drake in the first round. That was fun. Up 55-47, 5:45 to go. Miami out of timeouts, and Drake goes ice cold, 16-1 Miami run to close out the game. Tucker DeVries, Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year, 1 of 13 from the field, 1 of 10 from 3. And Drake blows that one. Miami wins. And then Miami dominates Indiana. Sorry, Wes Reynolds. That was a beatdown. And then to make matters worse, the Indiana women lost to Miami the following night as well. Oh, the sweep by the Canes. So my curiosity here, Matt, as the number's showing 7, there's actually a 6.5 out there at Circa. So some respected money, it seems, coming in on Miami, understandably so. You look at some of the betting splits. Public is early taking the Canes here. You know, Houston, to me, in that second half against Auburn showed what they're capable of. And this game being on Friday, I think, is advantageous to Houston because of the injuries to Jamal Shedd and Marcus Sasser. Sasser looked great in the second half. And that second half in Birmingham, to me, kind of said, okay, this is the Houston team that I bet to win the national championship, that I picked to win the national championship. So Miami is great guards, but I think Houston's guards trump them. I'm not looking to get involved at 7. But I think Houston has the ability to make this ugly if they play the second half that they showed against Auburn.
Yeah, I actually picked Houston in my bracket to go all the way. I don't have the great bet like you do at 22-1 on the Cougars to win the whole thing, but I was mocking Jay Billis and Joe Biden for picking Arizona to win the tournament. And then the next day, my pick to win at Houston was down 10 at halftime. Wasn't feeling great about that. But then, it's the same thing we said about Auburn, and I say it about Alabama sometimes too. They don't play the highest IQ basketball. They get a lot of bad shots. They can be volatile. They can be susceptible to big runs by the opponent. And you have to give Houston more of the credit because I thought the Cougars just turned up the defensive efficiency and said, the hell with this. We're going to lock you guys down, and this game's over. And Houston outscores Auburn 50-23 in the second half in Birmingham. Very impressive. A lot of talk before the game or speculation. Is Marcus Sasser going to play? There's a report he's out, and there's a report he's in. He's out, he's in. Well, it was pretty important that he played because he had scored 22 points, hit 5 threes, right? And it was a big factor in the Cougars winning that game. So I'm not going to look at the injury situation as much when you handicap this one. Wes and I talked about Indiana really blew the game. Indiana was up 3 on Miami in the second half. If you recall, it was 50-47. And the Hoosiers got a steal at midcourt. And Miller cops leading a fast break. He should have passed it off to somebody for a layup. Instead, he pulls up from 20 5 feet and bricks a three-pointer. Miami goes back the other way and hits a three and then goes on a long run and pulls away and wins the game. That was a huge swinging point in that game, turning point in the game in favor of Miami. You got to be the Houston guards much better defensively than the Indiana guards. I think Houston wins this game, Tim, but, you know, I don't like laying points here. I think it's a situation where I might play Houston on a money line parlay with something if I feel like it later in the week. I don't – this is the game I'm probably got the weakest opinion on. I'm going to say Houston wins, but I'm not laying the seven, so take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I'll sum it up this way. Like you mentioned, I've got a future on Houston. I'm not hedging. I think they win. I do think they cover, but I don't lay in seven in this type of spot, you know, with Miami's guards playing it the way that they have. Their defense is not great, but I think, you know, this is a classic spot of what have people seen lately. And Miami played really well against Indiana, and, you know, that's the situation we're in. All right, last two games of the Sweet 16, and you mentioned that Houston Miami was the ones that you had the least opinion on. I would say these two might be the ones I had the least opinion on. We'll go in chronological order. We'll go back to Louisville. How about the Princeton Tigers, ladies and gentlemen? Another 15 seed from the state of New Jersey into the Sweet 16 for a second straight year. It was St. Peter's last year, and they got the win in this round against Purdue, and now it's Princeton. They take on Creighton. Creighton's a team that I actually have a future on, and I have a little nibble on them to come out. This was back in, I don't know, January to reach the Final Four. So I would love Creighton to win this game. We saw what Creighton is capable of. They're a team that they'll defend, and they can shoot it as well as anybody out there. I was really impressed by their performance against Baylor. But you know what? I got to give Princeton a lot of credit. I thought the athletic guards on Missouri would give them fits. Not the case. They dominated that game, you know, really from the jump. And Princeton deserves a ton of credit. They didn't shoot well against Arizona, shot much better against Missouri. Kobe Brown finished with 12 points. He looked unstoppable against Utah State. So the Tigers deserve all the credit in the world. Had a 20-plus point lead at one point in that game against Missouri. So, you know, I think Creighton wins, but hey, Princeton, the way that they're playing right now, Matt, Ivy League, honestly, not a league that I handicapped really much at all this year. So I was surprised to see them beat Arizona, and then I was even more surprised to see them dominate Missouri in the fashion that they did.
Wes Reynolds likes to say water finds its level, you know, and you're talking about a 15 seed here. And typically these teams get to this point in the tournament and get blown out. But that didn't happen with St. Peter's last year as a 15 seed until it got to the Elite Eight, I guess. But like I mentioned, the couple of guys, Aaron Moore, Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Aaron Moore, who's a VSiN contributor, these guys watch the Ivy League every week, mm-hmm. and they were saying before this tournament, nah, this Princeton team's no good. They're lucky, going to be outclassed by Arizona. They stink. And then Tigers roll in, upset Arizona, and blow out Missouri. Man, I was really surprised by that. Just manhandled Missouri. I'm leaning towards taking the 10 here. But, you know, we talked about if you want to play a money line parlay, if you just want some action on a couple of favorites you think are going to win, but you don't trust them to cover, I think you could pair Houston with Creighton. Because I think it probably is going to be a Creighton-Alabama regional final. Even though I kind of leaned to the dogs taking the points in those two games. What really wasn't a fluke what the Tigers did to, what the Princeton Tigers did to Missouri.
The Tigers.
Over the weekend. You know, so, and that was a Missouri team that really shut down Utah State. And we were talking about San Diego State's 3-point defense. The Aztecs held Utah State to 4-for-24 from three in the Mountain West tournament. That's a Utah State team that can shoot. Missouri handled them, and then Princeton handled Missouri. So, you know, I saw Creighton in person at the Maui Invitational in November. Blue Jays made a big comeback, played a great game against Arizona. Wildcats won that Maui title game, and I was really impressed with both teams. I came away surprisingly impressed with Creighton. I said, man, this team's actually got everything it needs to get to a Final Four. I thought that maybe they lacked athletes or, you know, weren't going to be in the class of some of these elite teams, but Creighton is that good. So that's it. Lean to the dog, getting 10. But if you want to play a money line parlay in a couple of those games we just talked about, I guess you could match up Houston and Creighton. I don't think those two teams are going to lose.
Yeah, it looks like I'm doing the calculations right now. A money line parlay with the two teams that we just alluded to would probably be like minus 165 around that price for Houston and Creighton. Yeah, so it might be a situation, I'll be honest, Matt. And, you know, could this be kind of Super Bowl-esque where you get a suppressed money line because we know people get to town. They want to bet. If they're going to bet the dog, they want to take the big shot. They want to take the money line price. So, you know, you might get a suppressed money line on a Princeton or a Miami. So, sorry, a Houston or a Creighton, I beg your pardon, because they're going to want to take the other side. So, could be the way to look. The final game on Friday night, Xavier and Texas. Xavier, life and death with Kennesaw State. Jack Nungy, the hero there to get the big block coming from the opposite side. And Xavier holds on to beat the Owls and then turns around and really never in doubt, especially the cover against Pittsburgh. As for Texas, you know, moving on, beat Penn State, a pretty hot Penn State team that was fantastic from three in their first round victory over Texas A&M. Penn State gets the last second cover there. So Texas, the win, not the cover against Penn State. Texas, a team, Matt, playing really well. We saw the return of Timmy Allen. He played a little bit against Penn State. Another week to get healthy for Timmy Allen there for the Longhorns. Longhorns won their conference title, seemed to be getting hot at the right time. You know, they're playing for Rodney Terry. Will he get the head coaching job? -4. I feel like the public will probably be all over the Longhorns in this spot. But the tricky part is for me, as I would normally look at the dog here, and I may still look a little bit at the dog, I've just never been a big believer in this Xavier team. I've bet against them a bunch this year. You know, Zach Fremantle being gone, obviously they've played without him here for about a month or so, Matt. But, you know, at some point they're gonna miss him. And they have been missing him. Suli Boom, huge transfer for UTEP. They got some pieces. Jack Nungy, as I mentioned, you know, a unique power, you know, 7-footer who can block some shots, who can shoot a little bit too. When he steps back, he's 40% from three. I want to look at the dog, but this has never been a team that I've fully trusted in this season. So this is probably going to be a pass for me in this spot in the 2-3 matchup in the Midwest.
I'm not crazy about taking the points with the Musketeers here. Texas got by Penn State, and I really did like Penn State a lot in that game. I thought the way the Nittany Lions spread the floor with five guards and shoot the three, that they got hot. They could take out the Longhorns. They didn't get hot until late. It was almost enough, but not quite. That was a crazy point spread finish, by the way. At 5.5 with Penn State in that 5-point loss, and I'll take it. Texas won that game because Dylan Disu was so dominant in the low post. Penn State was just outmanned. Texas was bigger. Disu was just getting anything he wanted in the lane. He had 28 points, 10 rebounds. He's not going to find it that easy to score against Xavier in the paint. Texas is one of the few futures I have left live. I'm going to have to double check this. Let's see. Might be the only one I've got left. I've got UCLA at 14-1. I've got a lot invested on Texas at 30-1, but that was before, you know, Chris Beard got fired. And it's, you know, Rodney Terry's done a decent job. He's not Chris Beard, but it just feels like, Tim, we're headed for a Houston-Texas regional final here. I think the Longhorns guards are good enough to Longhorns guards are good enough to win this game. Again, not a situation where I want to lay the points, and I really don't have to play this because I got the futures on Texas, so going to be live if they advance. That's This is one, you said you don't have a strong opinion on some of these games on Friday, and I agree with that. You know, it's the situation where I'm going to be pulling for Texas to win. I think their guards are better, and that's going to be enough to get the Longhorns to win, but I don't see anything in this game right now at 4 or 149 where I see a big edge either way.
All right, there you have it, the Sweet 16 games. Let's quickly do what we do, a little best bet recap.
Best bet recap.
All right, Matt, your best bet recap for the Sweet 16.
All right, my best bet tonight is going to be Taco Bell. I'm heading over there for a couple Mexican pizzas right now. But my bet's for the Sweet 16. That's what you asked for. Okay, I'm going with Florida Atlantic. We'll say plus 5.5. I am waiting to see if we see a 6 again. But I'll take 5.5 with the Owls. I'm playing Gonzaga, UCLA, under 146. That's the number at Circa. Right now, that's the best number in the market. And let's split a unit. San Diego State plus 8 and under 137.5. DraftKings had 8. You know, I talked about this on the show with Wes tonight. I think that 8 just disappeared from the screen. It might pop up. I think it'll pop up again because the public's going to want to bet Bama, not San Diego State. So let's go plus 8 and then split the unit under 137.5, which is the DraftKings or Circa number. That's the best number out there on the total. And, you know, I'll say that I'm going to put these in probably play category. I'll take 4 with Arkansas if the 4 shows up again, and I'll probably play Princeton plus 10. But I like the Arkansas play a little bit better.
All right. You're going to hear an echo here. Florida Atlantic plus 5.5 and San Diego State plus the 8. I'm intrigued by Arkansas. We'll see what that number ultimately does. And you've kind of piqued my interest on that under. As producer Steven lets us know that the UCLA-Gonzaga game, in addition to the Jalen Suggs three-pointer at the buzzer, it will be the 17th year anniversary to the date of the Adam Morrison crying on the floor game back in 2006. So thank you, Stephen, for that that nugget there, UCLA and Gonzaga. So there you have it. We will have another podcast, myself, Adam Burke. We will give you that later this week. I think we're going to record that on Tuesday. Some more opinions regarding the the Sweet 16. We'll have Elite 8 podcast as well. But Matt, go get yourself some Mexican pizzas. You've been talking a lot tonight. Always a pleasure. We'll talk later this week.
Okay, thanks. You bet.
There he is, Matt Eumanns. Once again, rate, review, and subscribe. This has been the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No
purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.